Welcome to Crossroads, everyone. My name's Piper, and I'm one of the team members here. If this is your first time visiting us for a weekend service, we want to share a bit about who we are and what our services look like. Our worship services last about an hour and 20 minutes. This gives us time to worship through songs, communion, offering, and to hear an applicable message straight from Scripture. During our time together, there are hundreds of kids learning about Jesus in a fun way over in our Impact Kids ministry. We're passionate about teaching the next generation to be fully devoted followers of Christ, and we love to give the parents in a room a chance to listen to the message without distraction. Any one of our team members around the campus would be happy to walk you over to meet the Impact Kids ministry team. If you'd like to know more about the history of our church, where we're headed, or more about our senior pastor, join us at 101 Next Up with Chuck today at 1 p.m. We promise to feed you and get you out in time before the big game begins. You'll notice that we believe in the power of a prayerful church. We encourage everyone to intentionally seek the Lord each day individually. But we also believe in bringing the whole church together to pray and worship multiple times a year. On Ash Wednesday, February 18th at 7 p.m., we'll come together for our annual prayer and anointing service. This will be the first of five prayer and praise services we will have in 2015. As Pastor Chuck always says, move mountains to be here and do your best to arrive early as the building fills up quickly. Impact Kids Ministry will be provided. As always, details about all our events are available on our website at crossroadschurch.com. Well, today, Pastor Chuck is speaking on total surrender. Crossroads, please welcome our senior pastor, Chuck Boer.
And hey, happy Super Bowl Sunday, the only truly American holiday, right? That everybody celebrates. But you know, I am so glad you're here. I hope it's going to be a great day for you. And by the way, if you're watching online, and I know Steve, I think you may be watching. Steve's normally one of our team members, and some things came up, but man, our hearts are with you, Steve, and want you to know that. But I want to share with you a couple thoughts. Number one, if you're not connected in our church, you're not truly connected, there's the way to do that is come to Next Step. And so it's at 1 o'clock today in the London Institute. We'll have food up there. We have a children's ministry for your children. But here's the thing. We'll get you out in time for the Super Bowl, but I want to share some things with you you really, really need to know about our church and allow you to connect. I'll share my testimony. So I just would love to have you there. So if you have not, it's not a sign-up thing. You just come. Just come, and you're more than welcome. Second thing, we had something come up that shows how important one area of our church is, and we don't talk about it a lot. It's our business office. The people in our business office are incredible. They love the Lord. They work hard for you. They're experts in their field. They're so trustworthy, but they're so on it. And so here's what happened. The online service we use had a glitch. And that glitch was, none of your information's been compromised. The glitch was, it would charge you more than once. And so when our business office saw that, they shut it down right away because we care more about you and want to protect you as a church member, a family member, so we wouldn't let that happen to you. So we want you to know that we're on it. They did it. I don't know about you, but I got to tell you, praise God for our business office, making sure nothing happened to hurt any of you. So I just thank God for that. Now, what that means is this. If you've set up recurring giving and it's at the first of the month, which we're on, then you are not giving right now. So you're going to have to give in a different way. Or if you normally go online to give, you can't do that right now. And so there's other ways to do it. So you could do it outside electronically afterwards. We'd love to have you do that. You can do it with PushPay, which is what Pam and I switched to make sure we're in. There's this other thing called a check. I don't know if you know what a check is. A lot of you have never used one of those. You know, it's paper. And anyway, you can use the check. You can either turn it in or mail it in. But we want to have you be able to worship the Lord in giving. But we want to make sure you're safe in doing it too. So that's what you need to know about that. Now, we're about to dig in to, I'm going to call, the most essential truth of all 30 truths of the Believe series. Now, why is that? Because if you don't embrace this one, if you don't have this one, all of the ones that have come before it are not going to have the meaning in your life that they need to have. But if you really believe all the other truths we've looked at, you ought to embrace this truth. They all point to this truth called total surrender. Then all the other truths that follow, they're not going to have the power in your life, the effect in your life that God wants to have unless you embrace total surrender and actually live that out. See, here's the thing. The Bible will not have the meaning it should have. The cross will not have the power it should have unless you totally surrender to God. Jesus tells us that. We need to be aware of that. So let's pray about that and we'll dig in. Father, I pray right now that we would be people who truly trust you so much, we would throw ourselves completely into your hands, love you with our whole heart, live for you with everything we have, and even be willing, if need be, to die for you. That our commitment is that passionate. We're resolute, Lord, in how we throw ourselves into you, lean into you and love you and let you love us. And I know, Lord, the greatest life we could ever live is one where we are really, truly yours. So may we understand how important this is, and may we get it right, and may we be right by the power of your Spirit, the grace that you give. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to ask a question. Right now, could you with all sincerity say that you're living the greatest life you could ever live? Are you on an adventure with God? Are you actually living out what Jesus called for you to have, the abundant life? And if not, if you're not living this life that's abundant, and not life so incredible, it's beyond description and imagination, then what we're about to talk about may be the missing ingredient. Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, there's a thief who comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy, but I have come that you might have life and life abundantly. Notice he wants you to have life. He wants you to really live, but he warns you and I, there are things that can keep you from that. It's a thief who wants to steal from you and kill you and destroy you, and yet God wants so much more. And yet Jesus very often sees that that's the missing thing. And when we are never going to have that abundant life if we're not totally surrendered to him. Jesus made that clear in Matthew chapter 16, verse 24, where he said, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For who wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? This has to do with your very soul. This has to do with everything that matters about you. Jesus is saying these words. If he's not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. So you and I can't hold out. We can't hold back. We've got to let go. We've got to be completely his. And when you do, when you don't hold back, you don't hold out on God. When you let go, guess what? Then you let God start doing all the things he wants to do in your life. When you open up to him, he pours in far more than you could ever hang on to. And so you and I need to be willing to surrender to him everything. And when you do that, you'll get from God only what he can give. You have to open up empty hands and say, God, here I am. I'm completely yours. And let him begin to pour into you. And that's God's great desire for you and I to have that. Whenever we come to this subject, and by the way, we ought to come to this subject often, I believe you can't study scripture and not see that it's every pastor's responsibility to teach what I'm about to teach completely and clearly. And whenever we begin to do this, I always think about a story many of you have heard before, but I think it illustrates it so well. It's about a man who was standing on a cliff looking out over a gorgeous valley, and the cliff began to give way, and he starts scrambling, not wanting to go all the way over into this precipice and die. And he grabs hold of a branch, and he's hanging on for dear life, and he screams and desperation. Is there anybody up there who can help me? No sound. He says, is there anybody up there who can help me? No answer. And finally he screams, God, God, help me. And God says, I will. He says, God, is that you? And he said, yes, I'll help you. And he goes, oh God, thank you. And God says, just let go of the branch. And he screams, is there anybody else up there who can help me? You know why I like that story? Because it really is the question, are you and I going to be that way? Are we going to let go? Are you going to say, God, you know, here I am. I am willing to trust you. I'll walk by faith and not by sight. I'll live for you and with you with everything I have. I'm going to love you with my whole heart. That's what God wants us to do. And by the way, what we're talking about always, always matters, but especially now. It matters more now. There's more intensity to this now. Why? Because we're living in the last days. And if you can't be faithful in this moment, letting go and letting God, when the time of testing comes, you won't make it. But if you would let go and let God, he'll carry you through. In Revelation chapter 12, verse 11, it's talking about a group of people who in the last days overcome. They have the victory over Satan, over the devil, and everything he'd want to do them, over the one who's a thief that has come to steal, kill, and destroy. And listen to what it says in Revelation 12, verse 11. It says, and they overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony, and they did not love their life even when faced with death. Under the blood of the Lamb, that you really are covered in Christ's blood, totally forgiven and cleansed and set free from your sin. That you have a word of testimony, that you're living such an incredible life. You have a story to tell of all that God's doing with you and for you. And the third is, you would die for God. You do not love your life even when faced with death. That means that you'd be willing to give your very, very life for the Lord. But if you would give your life for the Lord, then you need to give your life to the Lord. You know, I got to understand, if I'm ready to die for him, I must die to self. I must be willing now to give everything to him ahead of time. And that's the great calling of God. The Bible's clear and Jesus is clear that we cannot be double-minded or lukewarm. You can't be double-minded. You can't be lukewarm. You got to be single-minded and totally sold out. Listen to what James said. By the way, I love this verse. We quote the beginning of it all the time. I bet you already know it by heart. James 4:8, draw near to God and he will what? Draw near to you. Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. By the way, if you're here and you've never done that, if you would draw near to God, if you would take a step to him, he'll come and love you and care for you and draw you close. But how do you draw near to him? James tells us, listen to what it says in James 4:8. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. You can't hang on to sin and go for Jesus. You got to let it go and then he'll cleanse you completely. You can't be double-minded. You've got to be willing to give your whole heart, whole mind, whole life to him. No double-minded person gets the presence of God, the relationship with God. So you and I can't draw near to God if we're double-minded. We have to be single-minded and completely sold out. Jesus makes that even clearer in Revelation. And I hope you're there. If you are there, Revelation chapter 3, we'll start with verse 15. Listen to what Jesus says. He says this to a church. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. I wish you would either be on fire for me or not, hate me. I don't want you to be in between. And he goes on to say in verse 16, so because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. The word spit is the Greek word emeo, emeo. And emeo means to vomit. It means to spew forth. The actual meaning, the literal meaning of this word is this. Jesus is saying, when you're lukewarm, you make me so sick, I want to throw up. Why? Because he loves you too much to live like that. He cares for you more than you know, and he doesn't want you to live like that. And he says, you know, it's sickening that you'd just be lukewarm towards me. And then he warns him. Verse 17, before we read it, let me tell you what he's saying. You think you're okay, but you're not okay. By the way, very often lukewarm people are like, well, you know what? Yeah, I'm okay with God. By the way, that's not okay with God. And he says this to him in verse 17, because you say I am rich and have become wealthy and have need of nothing, and you do not know that you are wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. You don't know the state you're in. You don't know how bad off you are. Verse 18, he goes, I advise you to buy for me gold refined by fire so you may become rich, and white garments so you may clothe yourself, and that the shame of your nakedness will not be revealed, and eye salve to anoint your eyes that you may see. By the way, white garments always in Revelations means righteous acts. He goes, I'm telling you to start living right and doing right things and serving the way you should. And he said, I'm going to give you gold and I'm going to give you an eye salve so you can see. And why? Because he cares about you and loves you and he wants you to live this amazing, incredible life. And in verse 19, he tells the reason he says this. He goes, those whom I love, notice, only those I love do I reprove and discipline. Therefore, be zealous and repent. Turn around. Don't live this way anymore. And listen to the next words, verse 20. Behold, I stand at the door and I knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come into him and will dine with him. And the word dine there is the word for the evening meal. It means to sit and share life together in a meaningful way. And it goes, and he with me, he who overcomes, I will grant him to sit down with me on my throne as I also overcome. And sat down with my Father on his throne. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Now, I want you to grab this, is that the Lord wants this for you. He doesn't need anything from you. See, you got to grab hold. When you and I do not totally give ourselves to God, when we hold out and hold back, we're the ones who suffer. God doesn't suffer. Even though he loves you and cares about you, he doesn't need anything from you. You're the one missing out. So the Lord is saying, come live this life with me and for me, and it's going to be the best life you could ever live. And when you hold out, when you're lukewarm, you miss out. I don't know if you heard about the man who was an incredible developer. Yeah, was high up in the housing industry, bigging huge complexes and massive housing developments and was making more money than ever, and his work was really known. And he had taken on one of the biggest developments yet, and he went to his foreman, the man who had worked with him the longest, and he said, I know we're doing something like we've never done before, but I've got a special project for you. I bought 3 acres of land, and I want to build a custom home. And I want it to be the best it could ever be. And the foreman's like, now? Why now? I mean, we've never been busier. We've never been more stressed. Why do I have to go do that? And the man said, tomorrow, come in. And he brought him in and he opened up the blueprints for this brand new home. And the foreman looked at it and thought, are you kidding me? This is so extravagant. I mean, you already got a nice home. Why do you need something like this? Why does it have to be so over the top? And the guy goes, isn't this exciting? And he goes, he doesn't tell the truth. He's like, yeah, it is. He goes, you get your team, you get the best people, you make it happen. And so what happens is that he starts having to do his normal job, and then he has to work it so he can get his team out there working on this other house. And after a while, he just has had it. He starts to get bitter. He's thinking, this guy already has a nice house. So he starts cutting corners. The first place he cuts corners is in the plumbing because he can get away with it by cementing it over. So he has substandard plumbing. Then he cuts corners with the electrical because he can hide it behind the wall. And he actually cuts corners with the studs so the house isn't quite as solid as it needs to be. But he's able to cover all that up. So outwardly, the house looks gorgeous, but inwardly, it's substandard and ready to fall apart. And he finally gets it finished, and the owner drives up to take a tour of it, and he goes walking inside with the foreman, and he said, oh, this is everything I ever wanted. This is unbelievable. This is over the top. Isn't this the most incredible house ever? And the foreman says, yes, it is. And the owner says, good, because it's yours. Happy 20th anniversary. Don't you know that's a description of many Christians? The Lord says, I'm going to give you this incredible life. And who misses out when you hold out and hold back? Not God. But he's not going to give it to you if you don't open your hands. He's not going to give it to you if you're not faithful. He's not going to give it to you if you're not all in. Dallas Willard, the famous Christian philosopher, said, the sad truth is the vast majority of Christians are living substandard lives, not abundant lives. And Dallas Willard said this. He said, we suffer from what he called the great omission. You can read it in his book called The Great Omission. And what is the great omission? The great omission is that we have not held to the great commission. The commission is what should guide our church and our lives individually. Jesus said, I have all authority to institute this. You and I ought to say, yes, Lord. And in Matthew 28, verse 19, he said, here's the great commission. Go, therefore, and make disciples. Now, everything we're talking about is about you and I being disciples, really making disciples. And then he said, of all nations. Now, notice the next one. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. By the way, that's right there a great omission for many people. You know what baptism is? The word baptize actually means to dip, submerge, or plunge. That's the only meaning of it. You have to go completely under. It means to be immersed. Why is immersion important? Because you're being buried with Christ. It's a total surrender worship experience of saying everything that goes under the water is his, and I'm dying to my old self, and I'm with him. And when I come up out of the water, I want to live with him and for him. And only disciples should be baptized. It says you make a disciple, you commit to discipleship. The first thing you do is you say, I am so in for God. I am so totally surrendered. I go completely under the water, and then I come up. So doesn't it make sense that the thief who comes to steal, kill, and destroy has assaulted a very clear biblical teaching? Doesn't that make sense? Because now instead of being immersed in Christ, you get sprinkled. So you kind of get a little bit. And we do it to babies who don't even know. And you know what I want to ask you? Doesn't that just clearly shout wrong, wrong, wrong? It ought to be you choosing Jesus Christ, and you ought to do it with a complete heart and total surrender. By the way, and that's what the Bible teaches. If you've never experienced that with him, the Bible commands you to. Why? For you. because God loves you and he wants you to experience that. And notice people are already omitting that. So it says, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And then it says this, notice verse 20, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even to the end of the age. Teaching them to observe all that I've commanded you. You see, that's the thing. We don't want to do a partial commandment. We don't want to hold out. We want to be completely in. I know today's Super Bowl Sunday, and I'm not sure who you're for. Some of you probably are for the Seahawks, right? You know, there's probably some Seahawk fans here. Anybody? All right. Are there any Patriot fans here? Yeah. Is there anybody here who just likes the commercials? Yeah, okay. Yeah, you know what? I got to tell you, most of you know there's some question going into the game about whether the Patriots have been honorable or not, right? Did they deflate some footballs, it looks like? And you know what? A lot of people are looking at Bill Belichick and say, you deflated the ball. You tried to get away. You weren't faithful in how you did it. And I'm not trying to insult the Patriot fans, but I need to let you know, it's going all over social media that not only is the Bill Belichick underinflated football an issue, there's the Bill Belichick underinflated Bible that's an issue. What is that? It only has 7 of the 10 commandments. It has an abbreviated Old Testament, and it has no verses on tithing. It's a total joke. That's not real. It's not real. But you know, I still think it's funny. Does anybody want a Bible like that? Where we try to pick and choose what'll be in it? Or are we a church committed to everything the Word of God says we'll do? Yeah, right? By the way, one of the things it says is to forgive. And all you Patriot fans, I ask for forgiveness now. The 5 of you. I'm kidding. No. I'm digging the hole. All right. Anyway, here's the thing. We all want to be all in. We all want to say, okay, Lord, whatever you do. And by the way, I want to tell you, we have a commitment here, and you actually have a commitment with me, that we would teach you to observe all these things. And God wants you to not hold back or not hold out. And so we want to follow the Great Commission without any omission. Jesus says that. For discipleship to be real, he's got to be Lord of all. In Matthew 10, 24 and 25, he said, a disciple is not above his teacher, nor a slave above his master. In other words, you know what? If I'm a disciple, he's Lord, and I'm not. He calls the shots. I do what he says. And then he goes on to say, it is enough for a disciple that he become like his teacher and a slave like his master, that we really truly have him as Lord of our lives. So we need to have that be real. And I'm going to have you think about, if that's real, if I'm totally surrendered and I'm not holding out or holding back on the Lord, my arms are open to him, then there are 3 things that will be true of me. And I want to have you write these down on your notes. 3 things that'll be true. Number one, I will love God more than anyone, including myself. If that's true of me, I love God more than anyone, including myself. I want you to think about that. Jesus said this in Luke 14, verse 25. He said, now large crowds were going along with him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. In other words, only one person, Jesus, has authority in my life. And I love him more than anyone. I love him more than Pam. And so my question isn't, you know, how can I always follow what Pam wants? It's how can I follow what Jesus wants? And then I actually will love her better. By the way, Pam loves the Lord more than me. I know that. I love that about her. And we got to love the Lord more than our children. By the way, more than my grandchildren. Now, that's not saying I'm not going to love him. What it's saying is I'm going to love him so much that if ever it comes down to a choice, I would choose him. I would choose him. Now, let me give you an example of how that might work. There are lots of men who have experienced this. You had a daughter, and your daughter loved you. She was daddy's little girl. And you know what? When she was little, she wanted to go to work with you. She wanted to spend time with you. She wanted to cuddle up with you on the couch. And when she was little and someone would say, who are you going to marry? She goes, I'm going to marry daddy. Right? Huh? And that's how she feels till she hits junior high. And then in high school and then in college, she finally meets a guy who's the man of her dreams. And while she might love dad, guess what? Dad doesn't hold a candle to him anymore. And if dad tries to make her choose, me or the new guy, who does she choose? Usually the new guy. Yeah. And you know what? I've seen families divided and dissolve over that. Now, let me go to something more healthy. The Lord wants you to choose him. Period. You choose him. You say yes to him. You obey him. You do what God wants you to do with him. And that's what God wants you to act like and who he wants you to be. I bumped into, back when I was at CCV, a guy I know pretty well. And I was the senior pastor at that church. And I was talking with him. And I said, I haven't seen you in church in a while. He goes, yeah, it's been probably 6 months. And I go, why not? Have you moved, changed, what? And he looked at me, he goes, well, my wife didn't want to go. And I was like, what? And I looked at him and I said, so? He goes, well, she didn't want to go. And I said, well, you're the man. You're a Christian. You tell your wife, I love you, but I'm choosing Jesus. You can sit at home, but I'm going to go serve the Lord. Yeah. And I said, you got to stand up for God. You got to make that call. You got to make that choice. By the way, the Bible's clear about that. And so, you know what? I'm gonna love Pam with everything I have. I'm going to put her ahead of me, but I'm never going to put her ahead of Jesus. And we need to understand, if we're going to come to him, we're going to be his, we need to follow him with everything we have. Matthew 10:37 says this. It says, he who loves father and mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Did you grab that? I mean, Jesus couldn't be clearer. Listen to Luke chapter 9, and we're going to hit Luke chapter 9 more than once. It says this. And Jesus said to another, follow me. But he said, Lord, first permit me to go and bury my father. But he said to him, allow the dead to bury their own dead. But as for you, go and proclaim everywhere the kingdom of God. And another said, I will follow you, Lord, but first permit me to say goodbye to those who are at my home. But Jesus said to him, no one after putting his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Nobody who puts his hand on the plow to look back. You got to be focused. You got to be totally surrendered. You got to be completely committed. No holding back, no holding on. So much so that in Luke 14:33, it says this. So then, Jesus said, none of you can be my disciples who does not give up all his own possessions. That, you know, we already talked about in the truth on stewardship that everything I have belongs to the Lord. Everything I own, everything about me, everything is his. And because it's his, then I have a responsibility to use it to his glory. And Jesus said, that's how discipleship happens. That's what it must be. It's all to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. By the way, there are a lot of the old hymns I love. That's one I love. Does anybody know that song? All to Jesus I surrender. All to him I freely give. I will ever love and trust him in his presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all. All to thee, my precious Savior. I surrender all. Now, I got to tell you, if it was I surrender some, would it sound good? What if I said, let's all stand and sing, some to Jesus I surrender, some to him I freely give. I will kind of trust him. Every now and then, his presence I'll daily live. I surrender some, I surrender some. You know, right now, it just sounds wrong, doesn't it? I mean, as a matter of fact, it's almost like, oh, come on, don't even do that. And the answer is why? Because that can't be how we live. That can't be who we are. We need to be hot, not lukewarm. We've got to be on fire for him. And so if I am going to be his, I have to love him more than anyone or anything, and even myself. Number two, write this one down. If I really, really have a total surrender, I will do all that God says. I will do all, and I didn't even underline that, all that God says. Jesus in Luke 6:46 said this, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I say? Why would you call me Lord and not do what I say? That's an issue we have to ask because it's an issue of the heart. It's an issue of love. It's an issue of are we truly his? In John 14:21, Jesus said this, he who has my commandments and keeps them is the one who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him. Now catch this. And I will disclose myself to him. The Lord says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And if you love me and keep my commandments, I am going to disclose myself to you. I'm going to reveal myself to you in such a way you can't miss me. You're going to know my voice. You're going to know my leading. You're going to know the will I have for your life. You're going to know my provision of protection. You're going to know power coming, great and mighty things happening, that great life. All that's going to be yours. Why? Because you love me. And when you love and obey, and you only can love and obey, you can't love and not obey. He said, you're going to be close with me. Verse 22, Judas, not Iscariot, said to him, Lord, what then has happened that you're going to disclose yourself to us and not to the world? And Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So if I'm totally surrendered, I'm going to do whatever the Lord said. When I'm reading it in his word, when I hear it in a teaching, when God points it out to me, I'm going to do all that God said, not some all. It said Exodus 24:7, where we're in Exodus 24:7, the people said, all that the Lord has commanded us, we will asa, which is the Hebrew word, do with all our might, and then we will shema. We'll understand completely. And that's what's going to happen to you, but you got to let go, let God, and you got to be completely obedient. Number three, if I'm totally surrendered, I have the right priorities. I have the right priorities. What are the right priorities? You ready? It's joy, J-O-Y. Jesus, others, you. The right priority is Jesus, others, then yourself. Jesus is always first, then you love and care for other people, then you come in third. Gail Sayers wrote a really cool book called I Am Third, where he talked about how he understood that's the only way to live a meaningful life, a life that would be truly committed to God, where Jesus is always number one. And then after Jesus, guess what? Other people come into play, and I want to serve them. And then I put myself last. And it's having the priorities correct is what it is. We live in a world today that's flipped it around. It's, you know what, me, then others, then Jesus. And the Lord says that's not going to work. And it leads to dysfunction. It leads to loneliness. It leads to a less than life. It definitely is a life where the enemy is ripping off and stealing from you. It keeps you from everything that God wants, and it keeps you from God himself. But when you have Jesus first and then others and then yourself, you have true joy. You're going to really have the joy of the Lord, really have the love of the Lord. And you and I need to do that. So when I get up in the morning, the first thing I do is spend time with God. Then what happens very often is Pam comes downstairs in the midst of my quiet time, and every now and then she'll say these words, oh, I left this upstairs. And I hear, and I'm like, oh, all the way upstairs. Because guess what I should do? What should I do? Go get it, right? Well, she left it up there, and I've got a busy day, and you know, hey, go get me something, woman. You know, That's not what you do, right? I mean, I'm supposed to serve my wife and love my wife. Why? Because I love the Lord first and most of all, and then I want to care for her, and I want to do that for others. And so, you know, the greatest in the kingdom of God is the servant of who? All. And so we got to have those priorities right. In Luke 9, verse 23, it says this, and he was saying to them, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Every single day I get up and say, you get up and say, Lord, here I am. What do I need to do? How can I die to selfishness and live selflessly? How can I make sure, Lord, you're first and others are second? How can I see myself that way? And then Jesus says in verse 25, for whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. Listen to how it's worded here. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? In Matthew, it says your soul. Here's what it says. What would happen? It's going to cost you you. It's going to cost you yourself. Everything you're meant to be, all the life you could live, you're going to give all that up, he said. He said, why? What are you holding on to? What are you holding back from that would keep you from something so incredible? But when I have the right priorities, what am I going to do? I'm going to truly be his disciple. I'm going to carry the cross and die to self. In Luke 14, 27, Jesus said, whoever does not carry his own cross, whatever your cross is or mine, and come after me, he cannot be my disciple. And so we need to understand the Lord's calling us to think that through. And he even calls us to do something else. Grab this, to count the cost. Luke 14, verse 28, listen to these words. For which of you, when he wants to build a tower, does not first sit down and calculate the cost to see if he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who observe it will begin to ridicule him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, when he sets out to meet another king in battle, will not first sit down and consider whether he is strong enough with 10,000 men to encounter the one coming against him with 20,000? Or else while he is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. The Lord said, you got to count the cost. You want to build a tower? You want to build a house? You got to know how much it's going to cost, and do you have the money to afford it before you start building? Are you going to fight a war? You got to know if your army's strong enough to beat that army before you ever go out and take part in the battle. And the Lord said, in my kingdom, in the realm of discipleship, you got to ask, are you ready to pay the price? Are you going to count the cost? Verse 33, Jesus said, so then none of you can be my disciples who does not give up all his own possessions. Therefore, salt is good. But even if the salt has become tasteless, with what will it be seasoned? It is useless either for the soil or the manure pile and is thrown out. He who has ears, let him hear. The Lord said, I want you to count the cost. I want you to think this through. You see, here's the point. There is a cost to being a disciple. The cost to being a disciple is you have to give God everything about who you are and be willing to give anything and everything for him and love him most of all. So you have to literally open your hands and let go and say, here I am. Take me and everything about me. But I want to say this. There's also a cost to not being a disciple. The cost to not being a disciple is you are going to miss out on everything God has for you. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, it says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has it ever entered into a heart of a man, all that God has prepared for those who love him. And then verse 10 says, but that's revealed by the Holy Spirit who God gives to us. So God has prepared things beyond description and beyond imagination for you. That life's so incredible, it can only come from God. That's from him for you. Not always easy, but always incredible. But get ready for this. It can't come to you if you're not totally surrendered. He's prepared it for you. He's got it for you. He wants it for you. And here's the question I'm going to ask. Can you trust him? Would you trust God to let go and let God? Here's the thing. I watch people all the time not do that. I watch the person say, I'm not going to give up a relationship that I know God does not want me in. Why? Because for some reason, I believe that one relationship is more than the love of God in my life. And so they hang on to something that, by the way, very often is heartbreaking. Or the person who says, I'm not going to love my wife the way Jesus loves her because I'm afraid that if I do that, our relationship will be one-sided and I'll be doing more for her than she does for me. By the way, let me just get it out there. It ought to be your goal to do more for them than it is for you. Say, I'm not going to stop drinking or using drugs because I believe when I'm numb like that, somehow life is better than opening myself up and living with God and the amazing things he has for me. Or I'm not going to tithe. I'm not going to tithe because you know why? Deep down, I see my money as mine and not God's, and I think I can spend it better than he would. I'm not going to use my spiritual gift to serve others because I just don't want to give my time. And I want the church to be for me and not me to come and serve in the church. Or I'm not going to go outside my comfort zone. We challenge everybody to go outside your comfort zone once a year to serve God. But I'm not going to do it. Because I don't like to be uncomfortable. I don't like to have to depend on him. Yet every time someone does, they always get blessed and they tune into God better. Many of you know the story of Rudy Fernandez because we've shared it. But Rudy's an awesome guy who's a member of our church. And Rudy felt God prompting him to take a week off work and go to Royal Family Kids Camp, a place where we minister to children in foster care in the Riverside County who've had horrible things happen in life. They need love, but they need patience because it's not easy. And it's a week of time with them, building relationship, loving on them. And Rudy thought, I don't want to go sleep in that kind of facility. I don't want to give my time. I don't want to have those kids clinging to me that way. He's thinking of all these things. But you know what? The Holy Spirit kept moving and moving. So Rudy did it. He took a week off work and he went. And right away, he loved it. You know what? You probably won't be surprised. What do you think Rudy says? He says, I got blessed more by going than the kids got blessed by my being there. Don't you think that's true? That always happens. Whenever you go serve God, all of a sudden you're going, I wouldn't want to miss out on this. Now that I've gone and loved and cared, I don't want to miss out on it. And every time you go into a setting like that and God starts using you, you go, whoa, I could never have planned how great this would be. Why? Because that's the life that you and I are meant for. He wants you to have everything. He wants to pour everything into your life that he's prepared for you because he loves you. But the thing we very often do is we miss out because we're holding on and holding back and saying no. So I'm going to do something different right now. Get ready. This is not the norm. We are going to give the invitation. We always give the invitation every week. So let me tell you what that is if you're brand new. I'm going to invite you right now. I really am. This is an invitation to you to come and know God. Jesus loves you. Remember, it says, draw near to God and he'll draw near to you. If you would do that with complete commitment right now, he will come and love you. Jesus said, I'm standing at the door and I'm knocking. There's some of you right now, you don't have that relationship with God that's real. You might believe in him, or maybe you're struggling to believe, but right now you know he loves you and he wants it to be real. And so I'm inviting you in this moment to do two things. One is to pray a prayer where you're telling God, I am really, truly going to surrender to you. And I'll lead that prayer and I'll invite you to pray it with me. And then the next step is for you to do something that shows total surrender. You pray, you say the words, then you show it. By after we pray the prayer, I'm gonna ask everyone to stand and sing. And I'm gonna ask you, if you say yes to God for the first time, to make your way to an aisle or to the stairs, to come down here and let us greet you, and to head in this room over here, we call our living room. And we have people in there who would love to share with you things that will help you grow in the Lord. But let me tell you, when you pray that prayer, you will draw near to God. And when you step out, it will cement the relationship. And I know it's scary, but see, it's a total surrender moment where you're going to say, I'm going to do what the Lord wants me to do. If you want, you can grab someone's hand and say, come with me. But I'm going to ask you to pray that prayer and come. If you're a Christian and right now you're not living an on fire life for the Lord, maybe you're lukewarm, maybe you're just got into something you shouldn't have, I'm going to ask you to pray the prayer and recommit your life. Let God revive you. Let him draw you closer. And don't try to do it on your own. Don't say, okay, I'm going to get it right. Pray the prayer and say, I want to be back today and make that walk. If you're here and you're hurting or you're in pain or maybe you're just filled with loneliness or disappointment or fear, I'm going to ask you to pray that prayer and step out and make that walk and say yes to God. And or maybe you're a couple and you don't have the Lord at the center of your relationship. I'm going to ask you to grab hands and say, right now, our whole relationship belongs to him. And then make that walk. When we get stand, make your walk and come. Now, all of you are probably thinking, okay, that's what we do every week. And we do. We always will. But well, here's what I want to do different. I want to begin this time of invitation by inviting the Lord to fill us with his love. And here's how we're going to do it. I'm going to ask you in a moment, all of you who will join me in this, if you would say, Lord, I'm going to surrender everything who I am to you. No holding back, no holding on. I'm going to let go. Maybe it's something I don't even know right now, God, but it's yours. Or maybe there's something, Lord, that it's in me and I need to have that come out. Or something going to be taken away. But right now, I don't want to hold back on you. And I'm going to ask all of you who would join me in that, to in this moment when we begin to pray, to put your hands straight out, symbolizing you're not holding on to anything. You can't hold on like this. You can't even hold it a little. You got to turn and let it go. And I'm going to ask you to hold your hands out, symbolizing to God, saying to God in a very physical, wonderful, worshipful way, I am completely surrendered. I am completely yours. I will not hold back. I'm in. And then after we pray a prayer over that, I'm going to ask you to surrender yourself to God that way. Get ready for what we're going to do next. I'm going to ask you then to flip your hands over. Because if you've let go of everything you've been holding on to, it's time you open your hands to everything he has for you. And I'm going to ask you to pray in that moment with me what it says in Psalms, to open your mouth wide and let God fill it. I'm going to ask you to hold your hands up and say, okay, God, I let go of everything. So now I'm ready to receive everything you have for me. All the love, all the joy, all the meaning, all the things that I didn't even know you wanted to give me, God, that are beyond description, imagination, and the relationships you want me to have. And God, here it is. I'm going to hold my hands open and I'm ready to say yes, yes, yes to all that you would pour in my life. And I'm going to ask God to move in a special way. So let's do that together right now. I'm going to ask you, if you would join me in surrendering to God, lift your hands straight out right now. Let's just do it together. Just do it together. And we're going to pray together. I'll start praying, but you pray too. Our Abba Father, our Dad, we surrender. We're totally surrendered. And Lord, right now, I know and I believe all of us, we don't want to hold back. We don't want to hold on. We want to let go. If there's something we don't know of right now that, Lord, we need to let go of, we surrender that to you. We trust you with that. God, there are some right now who need to surrender selfishness. They've been selfish and they live for self and they haven't been serving and they haven't been loving and caring and they haven't put themselves in third place. God, right now, I pray that that would be taken from them and they would just let go of that. Father, there's somebody here. There's more than one. They're afraid. Fear dominates their life. They've been holding on to that fear and the fear has hold of them. God, I pray right now that would be released. They'd be set free. God, there's some others who have pain. Pain of something that's happened to them, things that were said to them, things that were put upon them, lies that have hold of them. God, I pray they'd be set free of those and surrender those to you now and start only believing you and your word. God, there's some here right now who Lord, they've been holding on to a decision because they know they need to make it. And I pray right now they're going to let go and make that decision. The decision to say yes to you, only what you want, only your path. Father, I pray right now for someone who's holding on. They're holding on to something that right now they in their hearts know they got to let go of. And Lord, they're going to start feeling free from, and it's going to feel so good. So Lord, we pray that everything about who we are, our love is for you first. Our life is lived for you only. Our commitment is completely to you. And Lord, we're not holding on to anything. We trust you. Now let's flip our hands over. So Lord, I've emptied. I've turned it all over to you. We've turned it all over to you. So Lord, I pray now you'll fill us. Fill us with your love. Fill us with your presence. I pray right now every person here knows you love them so much. You want to give this to them. You have prepared great things for them. So Lord, I pray you're going to pour love and peace and joy. I pray you're going to give meaning. I pray, God, you're going to show them their path and destiny and direction. God, there's some people here you're about to give a job to. There's some people here, Lord, right now you're about to give healing to. There's some people right here right now you're about to cause a relationship to occur that would take away any feeling they're missing out. Lord, there's someone right here. You're going to heal a relationship or relationships and families because you want that back and restored. Lord, right now, there's someone here who's sitting here, Lord, that they need that decision, and you're going to give them that decision and that leading and guidance. God, I believe there's a couple people here right now. You're about to surprise them with something they've always wished would occur. It's about to occur because they're truly yours. So God, we pray that you're going to fill us with only you can fill us with your love, your calling, your leading, your presence. Most of all, Lord, fill us with your presence and fill us with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Yeah. Amen. And right now, if you've never said yes to the Lord or you know you need to recommit, don't hold back. Let's do it together. Right now, if you need healing from God for pain or hurt or fear taken away, you know, you've already said that to him. Let's commit your life to him completely. So I'm going to ask right now, all of you who love the Lord, would you start praying for people who need to make this a day of decision? And I'm going to lead that prayer right now. Get ready. If you're ready to say yes to God, pray this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I know you love me. And I know you died on the cross to cleanse me and forgive me from all my sin, to heal me from hurt and from pain, to free me from anything that would hold me back or hold me down. And I know you want me to be yours, and you want me to be alive, and you want me to be brand new. So I say yes. Yes, I want you. And yes, I want the life you have for me. So I open my heart to you. Please fill me with your love and fill me with your Holy Spirit and make me completely yours. For this I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen if you prayed that prayer. Amen if you prayed that prayer.